Good morning, everyone. Thank you very much for joining us at this slightly earlier hour. Thank you for accommodating us. I'm joined, of course, by our Finance Director, Chris Church, and by Rachel Borthwick, our Director of Communications, for this presentation of our interim results for the 6 months ending 30th of September. We'll follow the normal running order. Chris will take you through a detailed presentation of the numbers. I'll follow with some commentary on the 5 divisions, and then we'll open up to your questions. I just want to say, by way of introduction to Chris, that we characterize the performance through the period as kind of steady as you go. Trading is in line with expectations. The recovery programs in UK Bus and Student has progressed as expected and as reviewed with you previously. We've had really strong, solid performance in Rail, in Greyhound, and in Transit. We remain committed to and comfortable with the goals we've outlined with the shareholders last summer. But we have to be realistic about where we stand. A great deal of work is still in front of us, and we have no illusions about the effort that's going to be required as we go forward. And so with that, I will turn it over to Chris.
Thanks, Tim. Good morning, everybody. So what I'll do in my usual way is try and bring out the key themes and give you some color to the results. I'll also cover cash flow, capital structure, and also remind you of our medium-term objectives. As Tim says, it is early days in our transformation, but the first half results we find encouraging, with operating profit up 10%, and EPS at 1.9p, the same as last year, but obviously that's on an increased number of shares. There is a lot to do, and again, our results, as ever, are very much second half loaded, mainly because of the student school year. And we're in the face of some quite tough economic conditions. They're certainly not doing us any favors. But as I say, overall, we got to where we wanted to. These results are exactly in line with what you were told at the pre-close and also in line with our expectations. On the cash flow is better than the first half of last year, but that's principally down to our current dividend policy and also to the proceeds on the sale of the London businesses. What we are doing with the benefit of that cash flow, together with the rights issue funds that have come in and our strengthened balance sheet, is, as we told you would do, is increasing the rate of investment in the business. If I adjust for Rail, which tends to be self-financing, and it's actually a fairly small number in the period, and also add in the assets that we fund through leases, we've spent £250 million during the period on that investment program as we try and improve the returns. In terms of leverage, as the measure of net debt to EBITDA, we were at 2.4 times at the end of September, and that compares with 3.2 times IAS 19, the pensions adjusted, last year. So again, I'll come back to that later, but on course. And again, I'm sure many of you know, one of our key medium-term objectives is our return on capital employed. And on a rolling 12-month basis, that was at 8.0% at the end of September, compared with 7.6% last March. So steady progress. In terms of the more detailed numbers, top line at 3.3 billion is a 1.6% increase, half on half. But if I take account of the disposals of the London business, also the transit support services business, and the one-off impact of the Olympics last year, that's an underlying growth of about 5%. Operating profit at 110 million, as I mentioned, that's a 10% increase. And that has led to a slight uptick in margins from 3.1% to 3.3%. The other items I'd like to just pull out of this slide is interest. You can see the slight increase in interest costs, and that's the net of the lower interest when we paid down the bilaterals with the receipts from the rights issue, and that was obviously only halfway through the period. Negative exchange, and also offsetting those, or offsetting the first one, is the impact of the notional interest on the new pensions accounting, which lowered the interest charge in the previous year. On exceptionals, positive, essentially two items in there. That's the profit on the sale of the London businesses, offset with the bid costs on our rail bid costs. Now if I go through each of the businesses, first of all, student. The operating model, the change in the operating model is working. What is not certainly helping us is the market conditions, and they remain very, very tough. Overall, where we're focused is not on growing the top line at all costs. And we've said this before, what we're focused on is returns. And you can see that from the first line in the bridge here, where we're more focused on the returns than we are on the top line. I would expect revenue for the full year to be broadly flat. In terms of costing and pricing, and again looking at the bridge, we are achieving pricing, but cost inflation, given the current economics, school finances, we're not recovering all of the cost inflation in pricing. There's about a 0.5% difference, which is what you see there in that 5 million. But the key impact in improving the margins, and I do emphasize that the numbers in the first half are small relative to the year as a whole, but that increase in the margins that you can see, that's coming from changing the operating model. And that is the nearly $14 million that you see on the chart. So that's coming from efficiency savings, and also in there is the benefit of the continued improvement in the charter business, which continues to grow. So the model's working. We're going to hit our $100 million cost saving. Actually, we're already at a run rate of that in the first half. But the key to hitting our medium-term objectives is the continuation of delivering on that model and delivering the margin improvements. If I turn to transit, as we've been saying for quite some time now, it just delivers the numbers. Again, very, very good growth in the period, nearly 9% underlying, and again, with good margins in what is a business that doesn't require very much capital at all. For the full year, I would expect that top line growth just to moderate a little bit, probably to about the same level as last year, about 7%, but maintaining good margins. Tim will come back to this, but the growth is in all the areas, but principally in paratransit and in shuttle. In Greyhound, the transformation is working, and the results here and the margin performance is despite some very, very tough market conditions. You'll remember from the first quarter that like-for-like revenue growth was down 6%. It was a little bit more benign in the second quarter, and like-for-like, it was actually growth in the second quarter of 1%, which has led to an overall like-for-like of down 2.5% for the half as a whole. So it is tough out there, and you can see the impact of those conditions in the bridge. So as the customers, our main market, which is the value-focused customers, have traveled less, you can see that falling through with lower revenue. But the new model that we now have in place, our ability to flex the cost base, you can see that coming through in the 15 million. And therefore, very much of that market impact has been mitigated, offset by the changes that we've been able to make. Tim will come back to talking about each aspect of the business, the legacy business, the point-to-point businesses. But just a quick word on Canada, which Tim will also cover. But that is having a tough time at the moment, and like-for-like sales there were down 5%. UK Bus, clearly a number of moving parts in that business, and hopefully the bridge will help you. You can see the impact of the disposal of the London businesses, together with, in the first half, the one-off impact of the games last year. together with the headwinds that we previously talked about, pensions and fuel costs. And all of that is broadly in line with what we expected to happen. The key, though, is the bottom line, and that's the impact of the transformation program. And Tim will talk about that in due course. But for us, we are actually pleased for the first time in quite some time that actually overall we've seen underlying passenger growth. So the program that we're putting in our view, is working. Rail continues to perform good, solid revenue growth at just over 5%, nearer 6% actually, supported by passenger volume growth of nearer 4%. So that business is performing exactly how we want it. So that's the trading results. If I now come to cash, this again is also very much in line with our expectations, and there's no change in the guidance for the full year, which is essentially to have flat cash flow. Biggest item or biggest outflow in the chart is the CapEx, and as I mentioned, that really is all about us investing to improve the left-hand bar of the chart over time, the returns. And that's both in terms of fleet refreshment and investment in growth opportunities. The interest and tax, pensions, and provisions lines are all virtually the same as last year. Disposals is clearly London. The First Great Western provision is a number that's slightly higher than you saw last year, and that's as we spent money, as we're obligated to do, on heavy maintenance at the end of the First Great Western contract. Working capital outflow of 63 million. That, again, is in line with the seasonality of the business. We get an outflow in the first half and then an inflow in the second. So, as I say, very much in line with expectations. On capital structure, I covered a lot of the points on here when I first started speaking, so I'll just draw out a couple of points. Bond program, which goes out to the medium and longer term, means that, in our view, our average debt maturity of 6.5 years is good. The next major event to happen is the $1.25 billion revolver, which is due to mature in late 2015. So we'll be looking at revolving that sometime during 2014. The key, though, for me is the leverage at the half year of 2.4 times is bang on track to where we want to be for our year-end leverage in the range of 2 to 2.2 times. And as I said, I would just remind you on our financial objectives, which are unchanged. These are the medium-term objectives. You've essentially seen this before. But our focus remains on growing the businesses ahead of the underlying economies. Obviously, rail would depend upon the franchise results. Improving the margins and particularly getting them to double-digit in student and in UK bus. And improving the overall return on capital employed for the group as a whole from 8% up to in the range of 10 to 12%. And that's where our sights are set. So I'll now hand back to Tim. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. I'm just like to add some commentary in each of the divisions about the numbers that Chris has already reviewed with you. So we start in student. So student is not a new story. We're continuing our program of driving the application of the consistent application of best practice across our really vast business. And what we've seen in this period is that when you take our conversion wins, our share shift wins, and the additional work we've been given under existing contracts, what we call organic growth, as Chris's earlier slide showed you, we expect to be down about 450 buses across our 50,000 plus fleet for the year. And that's decent performance when you consider the discipline we've imposed on the business in terms of the bidding. You know, they are required to bid at rates that compensate us for the capital being employed in this business. And so we don't allow them to just chase the volume. As Chris has pointed out, the run rate on our cost program did hit the numbers in the first half, and we have continued to enjoy growth in our third-party charter business. So our growth in the first half was like 11%-12% on top of the 22% from last year. So we're continuing to push that, and we see that as the one kind of release valve from the constant push on having to cut costs. I am reticent, as Chris, you know, to echo a point Chris made, though, to characterize where we are for the year, because quite frankly, the student business is all in the second half. And while we had an unremarkable start to the school year in September, the fact of the matter is the hard work is still in front of us, because that margin improvement you saw in the first half actually has to find itself in all that hard work of delivering those children to those schools and keeping up our quality of service. And as I've characterized it before, I would just repeat, you know, when you're restoring margin solely through a cost-cutting program, it is a real grind, and it continues and remains a grind in student. Notwithstanding that focus on cost control, we are maintaining our determination to provide a better service than our competition can offer. So our buses are loaded with superior technology, our proprietary GPS system, which controls not only the driver payroll, but reports to our clients, and our Child Checkmate system, which ensures the safe delivery of every child to the school. Those technologies do play a role in our cost savings, but ultimately, we believe in the long term, they will be differentiating factors that will tell in bidding in many of our jurisdictions. The story in transit is a much clearer positive story. As Chris commented, our growth in transit was almost 9%, while not giving up any margin. This was a great performance by the team. That team has developed new business. It's developed new business with existing clients. So, for example, Valley Metro, which is in Tempe, Arizona, one of our larger clients, recently gave us an additional 300 routes. We've continued to expand our new business in shuttle and to extend our lead in the university shuttle business. So we've added Brown University, we've added Auburn University, we've added University of Tennessee, we've added University of Alabama, you know, Roll Tide. We continue to move this business forward. We are acutely aware, however, that very substantial transport companies have expressed ambitions in this area. But I would just like to emphasize, we operate on a vastly different scale. This business is so large, it stands alone. It is not mixed with other lines of business. This year, our turnover will be almost $1.3 billion. This is a substantial business. So when we talk about nearly 9% growth rates, we are talking about some big numbers. Having said that, we take all competition very, very seriously because these are very good companies that want to enter this market. So we have to up our game. So one of the things we've done is put money into technologies that we think will be very important to our clients. So we're rolling out a new desktop product that allows the client to see on a real-time basis our performance. We think this empowers the client. It allows the client to deal with their stakeholders in a much more knowledgeable way, and it also improves our credibility with the client because they can see we're perfectly comfortable for them to see how we're doing and what we're doing on a real-time basis. And we think this will make us the continuing preferred partner in this business. Similarly, in Greyhound, we think very encouraging stories, as Chris has already touched on. It's really two distinct encouraging stories. The first is the performance of traditional Greyhound in the face of tough trading conditions, and the second is this continuing double-digit growth in our point-to-point business. So starting with the first, we've talked before, we talked last year about the tough trading conditions in the second half of last year that really went into the first quarter of this year. And this isn't just our characterization. You can see this in the earnings results of companies like Walmart and McDonald's, with which we share a lot of customers. Those conditions got better in the second quarter, but that's actually not the encouraging story, although we're quite grateful that conditions have moderated and the pressure's off the business a bit. The really encouraging bit, as Chris touched on, is we have now the capacity to flex our miles, you know, flex our cost structure, so that even in the face of that tough trading conditions, we could protect the cash flows and the profits that were expected in our budget. Old Greyhound could never have done this. Similarly, it's an encouraging story with regard to the point-to-point business. We were able to see double-digit growth through the first half of around 10%. It was like 9.6% in the first quarter. It's up to over 11% in the second. These products of Bolt Bus, Greyhound Express, YoBus, we have been able to continue to expand profitably across our network. Greyhound Express particularly, we think, enjoys a competitive advantage because it gets a natural feed from traditional Greyhound, which is, of course, the only nationwide coach network in North America. And we're very encouraged by both of these stories. The only negative in the Greyhound picture is the performance in Canada. As you well know, Canada has been a regulated marketplace. We spent last year finally breaking the bands of regulation. It took a bit longer than we had hoped, especially in Western Canada and British Columbia, but we did that, and we stripped out thousands and thousands of miles. We had hoped to move Greyhound Canada into slightly single-digit positive territory this year. It's looking more like single-digit negatives just because this transformation is a tougher commercial proposition to get right than we had hoped. Canada is a different challenge than what we saw in North America when we stripped the miles out years ago because the densities are different, and the character of the business is slightly different because it's about 25% of package express business. So we need to continue to work on developing a market-responsive model like we have established in the U.S., and I'm confident we will do that in time. Turning to this side of the ocean in U.K. bus, our recovery program is continuing and is comprehensive, as you know. It hits fleet, it hits people, it hits networks. As Chris said, I'm not going to take you through the program in detail because I've done that in the past, but as Chris said, we are actually encouraged by what we've seen in the early days because what we're seeing is that our local markets are actually responding to the changes we've put in. And on an overall basis, we've seen volume growth. This is the first time there's been volume growth on this property for many, many years. The important thing is that while you will see our competitors are able to present the more impressive revenue increase number because they're able to put in broad-based fare increases right now, where we are having to put in targeted fare reductions in many places across our network, but we have to do this to reposition our product. The point I would want to emphasize with you is we are not engaging in broad-based fare reductions. These are targeted reductions on a local basis where we're trying to end up with a basket of fares that results in flat revenues for us to hold the revenues while we reposition ourselves so we can grow volume. And what this means for the year as we see it is basically, if you take last year's earnings and you adjust for IAS 19 and you adjust for the Olympic revenue, we will be holding the performance broadly flat. And the only equivocation that's in that broadly is really effects of foreign exchange on us. So we really think that we're seeing these encouraging signs that are allowing us to hit this inflection point in U.K. bus and turn this back into a growing dynamic enterprise. Now, I do want to comment on the transformation program so I can hang some details on what I described to you before, what has happened, what we're doing, because it is very real, the change. It starts with what we're doing in the fleet. We talked before last year about the almost 900-some buses that came out of post-Olympics that we spread around the various businesses. We've now added to that 464 new buses this year. They're helping us rejuvenate the commercial offer in the minds of the public, but also cut maintenance expense. We'll see a similar number of new buses put in the business next year, and we're going to continue this investment program as we really rejuvenate the presentation on a local basis of what we're able to do. And these buses are not having to cycle via London for Cascade later. They're going directly out there where we are completing the transformation. Our depot transformation program, which is what we call kind of putting back in the disciplined operations that drive the cost savings and efficiencies we have to see. Has touched all of our depots now. It goes in waves, but we're seeing very real results across the piece. And as we've said before, half of the margin improvement will come from the fact of more discipline, more efficient operations as we go forward. On the people side, we've talked before about the fact that Giles Fernley and his team have changed out 20% of the management. Actually, that number is more like 25%. And this is not a small group of people. This is the management all the way down to depot level. We're talking about a population of around 250 people. At the senior levels, the top 30 or so, that's been changed by 40%. These are new people. This is new blood. These are people at the local level who are taking ownership of the business. We are, for example, last week we announced 5 new MDs in the Southwest and Wales. We're announcing 3 more in the Southeast and Midlands this week. This is a complete refresh of the team, and these are people who are really up for taking responsibility on a local level, on a root-by-root level, about driving growth and being responsive to what the local community needs. We've also talked in the past of what we're doing on the network side. So we did talk about the really positive impact we had in Manchester and Sheffield, how we've done brave things on the rates, how we've seen very real growth and substantial growth, in the 7% range. Well, we're not living on those anecdotes. We're pushing this across the business. We've hit at least another dozen markets. Now, the payoff takes time, but we are convinced that over time, we will see the kinds of numbers we've been able to produce in Manchester as we bed these changes in. And when you look at it, and you can Google this and do it, when you look at the kind of positive comment we get from substantial stakeholders, like in Bristol, like the mayor of Bristol, you can see this is very real change. This is bold. We're not doing this in a timid fashion. We are all in on the transformation of this UK bus business and convinced we're headed in the right direction. Now, change isn't smooth. We don't always get it right, or we don't always can't always control all the variables we face. So, for example, in Glasgow, we put in a new network and part of our operation there. We've dubbed it Simplicity. It has done very well compared to where we have not made changes elsewhere. But the fact remains, Glasgow has not turned around financially. The local economic conditions there are very, very tough. Glasgow traditionally has been great bus territory, so we are determined to see this through, but the turnaround is not as apparent in Scotland as it is in some other parts of the network, and we just have to continue at this. But net-net, what we're seeing across the piece is the volume growth we wanted to see. We think Giles Fernley and his team are really doing a great job in proving that they can turn around this business. The fact that the operating statistics are turning around, the fact that we have seen some growth, and the fact that we do have this new team who's up for it does give us a lot of confidence in these very early days. And finally, we have rail, solid passenger and revenue growth. Not a great deal to say. You see, we've signed a single tender action on First Great Western. We would expect to sign one for First Capital Connect in the fullness of time. We are involved in numerous franchise competitions. As you know, TSGN, Essex Thameside, ScotRail, Caledonian Sleeper, the Lewis competition in Ireland. But it doesn't really behoove me to characterize things one way or another. We will just be going through this experience over the next couple of years. It will be manic for the whole industry. We will all lose more than we win, but we believe that the value we have to add in rail will show itself in the final results. Beyond that, there isn't a great deal to say in the with regard to rail. I just want to conclude by emphasizing those key messages, that it is just kind of a steady as you go. We've had trading in line with expectations. We remain committed to the goals, as Chris has said. And we're quite pleased that the recovery programs are progressing as we expected and that we've had such a solid performance over the rest of the portfolio. And with that, Chris and I would be happy to take your questions.
There is a microphone that's, so when Stuart.
Morning, it's Jamie Rowbotham from Morgan Stanley. I've got three quick ones on school bus and then one on cash, if that's all right. On school bus, clearly the CapEx this year is on track to be well ahead of depreciation. What will that do to the fleet age in school bus, in student bus this year, roughly? Secondly, you're guiding a reduction of 450 school buses operated this year. I know it's probably hard to say at this stage, but in your turnaround plan, do you anticipate further reductions in the next school year? And thirdly, is there any colour you can give us on the sort of wage deal that you struck with your drivers in student bus? I'm just wondering if there was an improvement there, whether that could have a beneficial impact on the margin in 13-14. And then finally, if I may, on cash, Chris, I just wanted to check with regards to the seasonality of the business and some of these outflows in the first half. The 60 million ex Great Western working capital outflow, would you expect that number to be closer to flat or still down 10, 20 million in the full year? I just wondered about the magnitude of the swing in the second half. And ditto really on pensions and provisions. I think provisions is 20 million in the first half. I think half of that's the usual notional interest, but there's a bit more on top. Do you expect more again in the second half? And similarly, should we be doubling the pensions outflow despite the higher charge under IAS 19 in the P&L? Thanks.
So just on CapEx,
we are investing at a higher rate, but also you've got the mix as we move and we cascade buses around. So overall, we don't actually see any major movement in the average age of the buses from around seven and a half years at the moment. So it's just a number of moving parts there.
As far as the 450 and what we would see in the continuing year, if you look back the last couple of years, our business has been reduced as we've tightened up. And so to make any other assumption would be to make a more positive assumption by the behavior of others or the market, which I don't think is called for on current evidence. Actually, the thing that has kept our numbers so healthy this year is it's the organic growth. It's actually been the biggest piece. We've had almost 500 routes given back to us, which is, you know, last year when I talked about this, I said, oh, we saw the glimmers of improvement organic. It was about a 200 route increase, and, you know, we saw 500. If it hadn't been for that, we would have been down a lot more because our conversion wins were more like 300 routes. So I would expect as we continue to force the business to only bid at compensatory rates that we will continue to, you know, look for the market to settle out, but we haven't seen it yet. The next is, on the wage deal, of course our wage deals are all local, so there hasn't been any overarching wage deal, but the wage deals have been in the 2% range.
Jamie, just on cash, the outflow, let me just back up slightly. The guidance we've given, which is overall for cash flow for the year, to be broadly flat. Now, I have to say, in a £7 billion business, calling that to the final million is actually quite tricky. So broadly flat, I've said before, means sort of plus minus 20, 30 million. So just to put that in context. In the sense of the working capital outflow, our working model is that minus 63 will essentially reverse in the second half, but as I say, within the overall context. In terms of pensions, again, the guidance that we've given previously is that the overall cash will be around 125, high 120 million absolute cash flow, compared with the underlying P&L charge of just a little bit below 100, and there's no change in that guidance. In terms of the half-on-half, the reason it's higher in the first half is the cash flow that relates to the Greyhound scheme all goes out in the first half, so no, you shouldn't just double it for the second half. In terms of provisions, yes, you're absolutely right, about half of that outflow is the notional interest. The other half
is we've continued to really tidy up the insurance claims and some old claims that we've been paying down, which is why we've got a slightly higher run rate on cash compared with the provisions in the first half. And it's really going to be dependent upon the timing of those settlements as we close those out. And these go back many, many years, those claims. So it will be broadly the same in the second half.
Thank you very much. It's Alex Bridman at UBS. Please, just two questions, please. On Greyhound Express, I guess if you could tell us, the growth is impressive, but I guess there are others that are maybe doing even more. Is there anything that's constraining that growth in terms of buying new buses, how quickly you can get new buses, what routes you're looking to, any of those? And then just quickly coming back to the cash cost on the pension, how should we think about that going forward? I was a little bit surprised it didn't change, given that we're now in an IS19 era versus where we were before. Thank you very much.
The Greyhound Express, no, we are not kind of choking off capital. I think, you know, one of the great things about the vote of confidence from the shareholders is we have a very big capital program, which we're determined to push forward. As we expand Greyhound Express, you know, we're doing it across the entire North American network. We are growing it profitably. It isn't for me to speak on someone else's numbers, but I would just urge you to be sure you're comparing like-for-like growth and not including additional new services. All we know is we are quite comfortable and certain of our ability to continue to succeed in this market. We are the ones who have this great network that provides feed to the Greyhound Express, and we're quite confident that we'll continue to see success as we go forward.
Alex, just on the cash, IS19 and pensions, IS19 makes no difference to the cash at all. It's purely an accounting issue. So if you look at overall cash for last year, around 125 million on pensions cash outflow, it's slightly higher than that this year, as I said earlier to Jamie. 125, maybe high 120s. That's due to auto enrollment. Other than that, on the cash flow, IAS19 has no impact. Other than, obviously, in your cash flow statement, what you push through there is the difference between the P&L charge and the cash flow. But yes, that is essentially what's happened in these results. But under IAS19, you restate the previous year. So your question was, what happens going forward? It's the same as this year. It's now rebased, and you go forward on that basis. Stuart.
Jamie. Damien Brewer from RBC. Can just touch on a few areas of the business. First of all, on the transit business, margin stable. Can you tell us a little bit what's happened with the capital intensity there as you shifted towards paratransit and shuttle? Has it gone up or down as the business mix has changed? Secondly, in Canada, a little bit behind, so that seems to be dragging the margin. Could you tell us a little bit more about what the sort of the still obviously legacy issues are and what the plan is to solve them and how you get that business not just into profitability but covering its cost of capital, given that's a key metric for the group? And then finally, on UK bus, okay, obviously the margin is down, but I'd imagine that as you go through this transformation, sometimes, you know, things are a little bit pressured before they get better. For the more mature parts of the portfolio that have been through the transformation earlier, could you give us some idea of what that's done to the profitability at this stage? Not necessarily in absolute numbers, but just the relative change that's happened there in margin or some other metric to get a feeling for, you know, that bit of the network that has been done and what the change is. And very finally, I know this is a bit of a sort of hand grenade, but you know, your bus passengers outside London are probably more natural Labour Party voters. We're seeing the Miliband factor roving across the industries. How's the bus industry planning to deal with that if the Labour Party continues to focus on, you know, the core 35% and potentially look at regulating or pressuring other industries on pricing? You know, what's the industry's coordinated response to that?
Okay, on transit, the capital being up, we said when we outlined our capital program, when we did the rights issue, that there is more capital going into transit to the extent the shuttle business grows, because that's the one element of transit where it's your buses. And so we did increase that capital to around $40 million for transit. But we're seeing growth in other areas as well. I mean, the Valley Metro growth I talked about, those 300 routes, that's fixed route, that's their buses, they give them to you. The paratransit growth, we've also seen, again, those are the buses that are given to us. So it still remains a capital-light business, with the exception of shuttle, which is still, you know, a relatively small part of the business, 17-20%, something like that. With regard to UK bus, what really flatters the transformation program to say that there are some parts that are well through it. That's just not true. I think what we're seeing in those places where the depot transformation is more in the second and third wave, where we have put in the new fare structures like in Manchester or like in Sheffield, that the big change we're seeing in the early days is that we are holding revenue. The improvement is all coming on the cost side for the most part. And I would expect that to continue to be the way forward, because it's always going to be the greater efficiencies and discipline operations that will kick in first as you develop your markets and you make sure you're putting in the right offering. As far as Canada, I mean, Canada is just a very different situation than the redesign we did in the U.S. Number one, it is a very big package business, so we have to sort through how you don't throw out the good with the bad here and maintain enough of a network to sustain those revenues or find some other solution for it. So that's one thing we have to look at. Number two, the densities of the country. You know, everybody lives within about 200 miles of the border, so it's a very kind of more restricted. And in the kind of triangle in the east, where you've got a lot of passenger growth, you also have a lot of competition via rail and other bus companies, and we have to sort through all of that. We are introducing, you know, what's the end state? We're introducing the Greyhound Express and Bolt bus brands to other parts of the network, so it may be that we end up with a much more stripped-down point-to-point business over time. We don't have all of the answers just yet, but I'm convinced that as we kind of work through this process over the next couple of months, we will get to a clearer picture. As far as the bus industry and what labor's doing, the most important thing we can do is really, writ large, what First Group is doing, and that is we have got to present packages to the local areas that are viewed as responsive to their needs, and we are viewed as a good partner. It's why we have pushed so much quality partnerships. It's the great success we've had in Sheffield. It's that success that, as you know, has changed the tone in West Yorkshire in terms of the possibility of a more regulated solution. And I think the whole bus industry just has to be very responsive locally and continue to push this. The government also has to be realistic about the, quote, regulated solution. You know, TFL, I was part of TFL. I'm very proud of my years there. But in my opinion, TFL is not a scalable solution. That would be a very, very expensive thing to do, because it does not generate it. It requires a lot of funding. And so the government has to be realistic about all of this capital that is being delivered by the private sector. And they have to be reminded that that's a bill that they kind of shed years ago and wouldn't, I think, want to pick up again. So I don't think it's about fighting with them. I think it's about convincing them that we are responsive locally. But at the national level, I think we have to constantly remind them of the implications of this talk about more regulation.
Well,
I suppose in some ways you could see it in Chris's bridge, because where you see that improvement year over year, I mean, most of that's in the efficiencies, because we haven't grown dramatically. Well, all of it's been through one. I think it's about, like, we always look at it, I'm thinking of the page that Giles always presents, and it's about a third of it has been through it, because we look at it in the three grades of taking the depots through the transformation.
Damien, I think the key for us is this, we're still in very early days on UK Bus. There's still an awful lot to do when you look at the overall program, which is why when we talked about this before, getting the margins from the 5% to the 10% is not something that happens in a year or two. It takes a bit longer than that. So hopefully that helps.
When we talk about the encouraging signs and why we're speaking so positively when, in fact, this transformation has the farthest to go when you look at the margins, it's really the fact that, A, the disciplined operations produced right away the KPI change, and the fact that the local markets actually responded to our changes. You know, the relevance of our position in the market was affirmed, and that gave us encouragement and clarity about where we can head long term.
Gerald Koo from Liberum Capital. A couple of questions. Firstly, on UK Bus, you talked about the large scale of management changes in the organisation. Where are those people coming from? Are they new recruits? Are they internal promotions? And secondly, in students, how far along are you in terms of implementing the new model? Should we think of that as it being a single stage process, or is it an iterative process, much like you've described in UK Bus?
As far as UK Bus, well, they come from the industry. Some of them are internal. Just using as an example, I said 5 new MDs in the southwest in Wales. 3 of those are from the outside. 2 are internal promotions. I think one of the great things about bringing in Giles is he had such a connections in the industry, so well known, and he's really able, people understand what it's going to be like to come to work for him. Because they know his style, and he's been able to attract a lot of people, and that's been a real strength for us in changing this management. As far as student goes, it's hard. I don't know exactly how to accurately characterize. I would say, you know, you can see just by the numbers, we're about halfway or shortly short of halfway in where we have to go in this process. It's iterative in the sense that, and it's frustrating in the sense that this is a business that remakes itself every September almost. So as I always say, one of the reasons I describe it as a grind is it isn't just about the next chapter of the cost savings. It's about making sure they are also saving the $30 you know, got them to get to last year. But they have new routes, they have new drivers, they have new routines to go through. So you've got to make sure that, you know, there isn't any slip back. And so it is an absolute grind of anally going back over every item and bringing it forward. And it isn't at a stage, and I think one of the reasons why you have caution from us, it isn't at this stage where the cost program is in and we're getting real gearing and the thing is taking off. It is still a grind. Great.
Okay.
Thank you all very much for coming at this earlier hour.
Thank you very much.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may all now disconnect.